Purify your life today.
We're crossing the finish line. What a big week this was. That's now heading into the weekend. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. America Tonight, coast to coast and everywhere in between. Coming up on the show, the ATN head shrinker, Judith Barr, will join us to talk about some of the things that have been going on around the country and how we can wrap our minds around it, like the horrible shooting death, of course, of the abortion doctor. And the sad thing there is the fact that you're talking about somebody going into a church, and you know where that story went. We'll talk about that because there's some new developments in that case, by the way. $5 million bail, too. Woof. Coming out this weekend, Will Ferrell's Land of the Lost. Of course, we have our movie previews in sports shorts. The Lakers wipe out the Magic. Are you surprised? Give me a break. Not so fast, though, with the Red Wings and the Penguins. They even the series, the Pens do. So that's 2-2 in the race for the Stanley Cup. And Kung Fu Man, or you might have caught him in Kill Bill, David Carradine shocks a few people, friends and family certainly, as he was found dead in his hotel room in a closet hanging in Bangkok, Thailand. We'll tell you what police are saying about that. But the big news, of course, Obama and his speech in Cairo. And there are all kinds of polls out. How did you think the speech went? Was it excellent? Was it good? Was it okay? Was it fair? Was it awful? I've seen this like on probably 15 different websites. Now, I'd say the speech was solid. The bigger question to me is, will the speech make any difference? Here's the question I pose to all of you. Can Obama, as the president of the United States, really broker peace in the Middle East and win over the hearts of an Islamic nation filled with youth, 30 and under? In Iran, two-thirds of the people are under 30 years old. And isn't that the idea? Stop the bleeding. Stop terrorism by changing the attitudes of the younger people. And it's interesting. I was thinking about this today, and we're going to let you hear snippets in just a second. In fact, three of them from the president's speech. But I was thinking about this today. And I know, and I've said this on the show a ton of times, we've talked to people here on America Tonight about this. And, of course, we know the disenfranchised, the poverty-stricken, the young men who feel like nobody's there for them in different parts of the Middle East tend to gravitate toward jihadism or be recruited by the Taliban, etc., in some form or some other terroristic group, right? But remember, the leaders, they're not the dummies. Half of them are educated in the United States or go to Oxford in England. So a lot of the people that Obama, I think, was trying to reach, some of that upper middle class type of Arab or Israeli or whoever was listening to the speech, he was trying to reach, I think, another demographic. The demographic of would-be plotters. In his speech, he said nothing about terrorists. Nothing. Which I thought actually was pretty good. So here was the opening salvo. Here's how he started things off in Cairo.
I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning between the United States and Muslims around the world. One based on mutual interest and mutual respect. And I consider it part of my responsibility as President of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear. Just as Muslims do not fit a crude stereotype, America is not the crude stereotype of a self-interested empire.
All right, did you notice that? He was saying he was going to fight the negative stereotypes, of course, and then also the negative stereotypes of how Americans are portrayed as being completely self-interested or self-absorbed, I guess would be another way to say that, too. Here's another little snippet from the speech where he talks about the so-called war with Islam.
America is not and never will be at war with Islam. We will, however, relentlessly confront violent extremists who pose a grave threat to our security. Al-Qaeda killed nearly 3,000 people on that day. The victims were innocent men, women, and children from America and many other nations who had done nothing to harm anybody. And yet Al-Qaeda chose to ruthlessly murder these people, claimed credit for the attack, and even now states their determination to kill on a massive scale. Unlike Afghanistan, Iraq was a war of choice that provoked strong differences in my country and around the world. The situation for the Palestinian people is intolerable, and America will not turn our backs on the legitimate Palestinian aspiration for dignity, opportunity, and a state of their own. We are taking concrete actions to change course.
All right, and then the third part of that, of course, is ultimately, and he's started to allude to that, is talking about the torture side of things, which made big headlines.
We are taking concrete actions to change course. I have unequivocally prohibited the use of torture by the United States, and I have ordered the prison at Guantanamo Bay closed by early next year. No system of government can or should be imposed by one nation by any other. That does not lessen my commitment, however, to governments that reflect the will of the people. There's one rule that lies at the heart of every religion, that we do unto others as we would have them do unto us. This truth transcends nations and peoples. A belief that isn't new, that isn't black or white or brown, that isn't Christian or Muslim or Jew. It's a belief that pulsed in the cradle of civilization.
All right, so obviously what has to happen here, if you think of the concept of peace in the Middle East, you're talking really about three faiths and then branches of that, the Muslim faith, Jewish, and, of course, Christian faith as well. But in talking about the two-state effort would be Palestinians and Israelis. And this is going to be tough, I think, to broker any kind of a peace deal here. I've been talking about it forever on America Tonight. Now it's Obama's turn to see what he can do. He's getting high praise for people for not waiting till the end of his term to tackle the Middle East. And so he's, what, 124, 25, whatever it is, days into his presidency, and he's made these efforts. But reaching out to the Muslim world, will it pay off? Now, I don't care if you're the hardest right person in the world, the most conservative man walking the face of the earth, a card-carrying member, or certainly the most flaming liberal person. If it could happen, of course, it would be a great thing. I'm going by what I've learned through people that I've had on shows, people I've spoken to, and how difficult it is and how hard the feelings are. And I'm going to say that it's going to be pretty tough for Obama to leave and think at the end of this first term that there really is going to be peace in the Middle East. Call me cynical, but I'm trying to be a realist. You can, of course, pop off your thoughts coming up after Judith Barr. And remember this number, 800-259-5791. The Head Shrinker next.
This is Alex Jones with important news. I want to warn you about a deadly storm that's fast approaching, a storm that will affect you and everybody you know. Here's the story. The current administration is committed to nationalizing health care, giving 40 million new people free care. Now here's the bad news. The current system will almost be immediately overwhelmed by these new demands for free services and procedures. Medicare and Medicaid are already bankrupt. Many doctors are now leaving their practices frightened by the prospect of forced procedures. All this is creating a perfect storm, which could create unimaginable shortages in the healthcare services. Folks, it's time to be prepared for the worst. Our friends at Solutions from Science have recently come up with an emergency preparedness course that reveals how you can make powerful herbal medicines in the privacy of your own home. It's called Herbal Preparations and Natural Therapies, and is flat out the best course of its kind. I recommend you visit this important new website at MakeHerbalMedicines.com. That's MakeHerbalMedicines.com, or call toll free, 877-327-0365.
Life Change Tea detoxifies. GetTheTea.com. It's only about a dollar a day. GetTheTea.com. Receive more energy. GetTheTea.com. Lose weight. GetTheTea.com. It's purifying. GetTheTea.com. It works immediately. GetTheTea.com. It's too easy. GetTheTea.com. We challenge you. GetTheTea.com. What's the phone number? 928-308-0408. What did you say? 928-308-0408. I didn't get that. 928-308-0408. Will it work? Yes. GetTheTea.com. Unmatched. GetTheTea.com. This gets in your head. GetTheTea.com. That's the idea!
This is Alex Jones for American Tax Settlement. We have received news that the IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements on back taxes, and millions of consumers may be eligible for this reduction to save thousands of dollars. If any of you out there owe $10,000 or more in back taxes to the IRS, we have created an open phone line with American Tax Settlement for all Alex Jones listeners to see if you qualify for a settlement with the IRS to save thousands. The number to call is 1-800-506-5904. Millions of taxpayers now may be eligible for this settlement to save thousands of dollars. Don't risk the IRS coming after you and garnishing your wages or seizing your property. American Tax Settlement specializes in negotiating with the IRS on your behalf, keeping the IRS off your back and saving consumers millions of dollars. If you owe $10,000 or more in taxes to the IRS, the number to call is 1-800-506-5904. That's 1-800-506-5904. Call today.
Tonight, we'll give you the latest on that mystery that still surrounds Flight 447 Air France from Rio to Paris. Wait till you hear what they're saying now about the debris. It's always a pleasure to welcome this lady onto the show. I think she must have a thriving practice because she does such an excellent job when she joins us on America Tonight. We affectionately call her our special head shrinker. And you can catch a lot of her stuff, I think, all over the place. But certainly you can check out her website. Just remember to go to PowerAbuse Power Healed. In fact, if you go to info@PowerAbusePowerHealed.com, I've had a couple of people ask me about that. You have to click on and find out much more. There's so many things going on that we could ask Judith. So let's dive right into it. Hey, Judith, how are you doing?
Hi, Kate. I'm so glad to be back with you tonight.
Oh, thank you. Hey, let me just ask you this question, because I say this all the time. I've tried to school myself in various religions because now in doing a talk show, of course, there's so much happening in the Middle East, and you talk about various religions and you talk about the relationship between Israel and Iran or the lack of one and the fears and all that sort of stuff. And obviously, President Obama gives a big speech in Cairo, and he's talking to a lot of the youth, because you're talking about a lot of people 30 and under. How tough is it, though, when somebody grows up and they're taught a certain thing about a group of people to sort of change their minds and say, hey, let's all work together and we can have differences in our cultures and our beliefs, but we can really peacefully coexist. How tough is that to make it happen in a place where you're talking about thousands of years of history?
That's a really good question, Kate. I think it ties in with basically understanding what happens to us as children and as we grow up, and the early experiences we have, the early feelings we have, the early wounds we have. And what you're talking about is people teaching their children and their cultures fear of other mm-hmm. people. And it really takes a commitment and work not just by a president, not just by our leaders, but by each one of us to want to and to do the work to heal that fear, to really to dissolve it and transform it into an openness to other people, into not being afraid of someone who isn't like you.
Yeah, so well said. As a psychotherapist, would you recommend, because this is what I'm thinking, if you're trying to have people come together from different cultures to understand where they're coming from, then I think that involves more of the melding them together. In other words, more opportunities, conferences, that kind of thing. Some sort of follow-up where people can meet other people and mingle and see, you know, talk about growing up and talk about things that they were taught. I think more of those kind of conference-y things might help. Do you?
I think conferences could help. I also think reading could help. I have a trainee who is getting a degree, and she had a course on cultures and read about different cultures that have come to the United States of people that she might end up working with. And she said she was so touched to read what people are dealing with from their specific culture coming here and their particular vulnerabilities and what they bring here that is so different, and that it just touched her deeply. So imagine if not just people training to be psychotherapists, but people who really want to help heal the conflicts between people would read something that could touch them in that way.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. And you know, in talking about the Middle East and talking about Obama being there and cultures and all that entails and growing up and what you're taught growing up, and, you know, it goes to a lot of different things, doesn't it? How you feel about racism, bigotry, all those kind of things, because you learn from your parents. It's just a natural deal, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You know that song from South Pacific? I don't know if I can remember the words right now, but there's a song, Carefully Taught, and how you have to be carefully taught by the time you're 6 or 7 or 8 to hate the people your relatives hate.
Right.
So it's a thing that happens very early in our lives.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And you say that all the time. It always goes back to that. To break a cycle, like if somebody comes to you and they obviously they have burdens, they have things that they're trying to work through, which bravo to them for taking the steps, and then you're working with them, what kind of tools do you think help people in overcoming, let's say, pre-programmed prejudices and whatnot?
Really to become aware that you're feeling prejudiced, to feel safe enough with, if I'm working with somebody, that they feel safe enough with me and safe enough within themselves that they can acknowledge their prejudice, to track the prejudice back from today to the earliest experiences that might have caused that prejudice, and to build the capacity to go back into and through the feelings at that point. I mean, you know, what we're really talking about is being taught or having experiences of somebody else being a threat, of being afraid of being harmed by this other person or these other people. And so much, Kate, in our world today, things are coming up for people that are frightening, and they don't realize that there are some things that are frightening in the here and now that we need to make really good choices about how to deal with them. But so much of the fear isn't from the here and now. It's from the past, and it has to be healed in the past. It has to be tracked back and healed, and really the only way to do it, really do it, really heal it to the root, not just manage it or control it, but really heal it to the root. Because I just want to add here, because managing and controlling it is not going to solve it. It's still inside you. It still will have its effects. You'll still act out on it. But if you really go back in through the feelings and heal it to the root, then all the energy that was being spent either making choices and carrying out decisions based on that early fear, or all the energy that it took to hold that fear at bay, will now be free to use in constructive, creative ways and to make really wise choices.
Yeah, and talking about healing it to the root, as a psychotherapist and you work with different people, can you tell, I mean, obviously you can, but it's got to be rewarding to you when you can see that finally someone's made that breakthrough. That's got to be a terrific day for somebody who's in your office or with you and having that moment, right?
It is such a wonderful experience. And it always, even though I've been doing this for years, and even though I know it's possible and I know it's likely and I know it's coming, it still fills me with awe. I just did an intensive of an ongoing group that I've been working with for some years. And it was just so exciting because each person went through something that they have been really working diligently and committedly to build the capacity to work through.
Oh, that's terrific.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this was great talking to you as always, Judith Barr, head shrinker to ATN. We love that nickname that we've given you. And, of course, to learn more, you can go to powerabusedpowerhealed.com. Judith, have a terrific weekend, and thanks for hanging late with us.
You're so welcome, Kate, and thank you.
You're welcome. Coming up next on America Tonight, of course, we're going to talk more about the Middle East and the trip that Obama made to the Middle East, and ultimately what was the reaction to the speech. From what I gathered in different newspapers I was able to cull through and different conversations I had, it seems as though it kind of was mixed reviews. Some thumbs up, and I'm talking about the Middle East, not even reaction in the United States. Some welcomed what he had to say, thought his words were well chosen, was pretty courageous, all that sort of stuff. Like Israeli President Shimon Peres thought that it was well written, well executed, the concept of peace, the whole idea was done well, and he realizes the challenges and all that sort of stuff, and also how important the speech was. But overall, it was kind of a mixed review. More on that coming up around the bend here on ATN.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
Speaking of Madonna, like a virgin, that's like 100 years old. She makes the list of powerful celebrities from Forbes magazine, but she's definitely not at the top of the list. Oprah Winfrey wasn't. You might be surprised to learn who was. I think I mentioned this briefly on our last show, but I'm going to dive a little bit more into that because I know you'll be so excited to hear. Maybe you'll know someone on the list. If you've had a brush with any of those people, you'll have to call us and tell us about it. By the way, you can always call America Tonight if you've had a brush with fame and let us know what that was like. Perhaps you were golfing and you bumped into Tom Cruise and he played a few holes with you. That'd be worth calling us to tell us about it. Maybe you were surfing in Malibu and lo and behold, who was next to you on a board but Matthew McConaughey? Maybe you were in New York and you were touring the Statue of Liberty and Scarlett Johansson happened to be on the same ferry that you were on. That bears a phone call and a description of what happened. 800-259-5791. In the meantime, back to what is real, and that's Obama's speech drawing kind of, tepid reviews. Some people liked it, some people question what he had to say. Israeli leaders, of course, are going to say that they hope that the Arab and Muslim world and Israel can reconcile. But we're talking about lots of history, lots of hatred, and lots of mixed messages about things that have happened in the past on both sides of this. So to me, the question isn't so much, gee, how did Obama's speech do? And, you know, how would you rate it? Because we can all rate it. You can rate parts of it. We played a few clips for you. Most of you were probably working and you've only heard a little bit of it. So we could do that. We know the guy can speak as long as there's a teleprompter, right? But it's not about that. It's about, to me, it's about, will this be a step in a direction where you'll actually see peace in the Middle East? And certainly as somebody living in America, at like the rest of you, and I love my country and I hate what happened on September 11th. All of you know by now that I was doing a radio show and lived through that experience, and it was terrible. The night after night when I was there anyway, when I was on the air, to listen to the gut-wrenching stories from firefighters and EMTs and everybody in between who had lost somebody or who was at ground zero trying to pray that somebody would pop up. And, oh, it was, I mean, just awful. And then going around the city and seeing the pictures of, have you seen this person? And I don't blame anyone. I would be the same way because suddenly they just vanished. So wind the clock forward. That happened. And, of course, Obama mentioned it in his speech and said, you know, innocent men and women and even some children, et cetera. So he talked about that, the extremism. But can he cut through the extremism and make a difference with this speech and with actions to broker some kind of a deal between the Israelis and the Palestinians? And that is at the heart of this, period. What were the people saying in the West Bank city, for example, of Ramallah? What were they saying when they went by? And what was their interpretation? Because you have to think, I think you go back to this. You go back to the history in the region. That's what you go back to. I know plenty of Jewish people that live in Israel. Well, let's say a couple of them, a handful of them. And I know people that have left Israel. I know loosely some people who have relatives, in, and we've had them on the show, in Gaza. And the feelings that are there, I don't think you can wave any sort of a magic wand to make them go away. And there is no kumbaya that can be going through the streets that will make people change their mind. It's not a Coke commercial. I mean, there's some serious hatred here for people whose lives and families' lives have been snuffed out, and serious religious beliefs. That's the thing. The occupation, the word occupation gets thrown around a lot. So, you know, maybe he opened some eyes. And really, I think the plan for Obama, or at least the plan for this administration, is to try to cut through and reach the younger people. Because if you look at the Middle East, and, you know, you look at Gaza, you look at Iran, you look at parts of Egypt, you're talking about people 30 and under, the population pretty young. So I think that was, and that's why the speech was in Cairo and where it was, trying to reach the up-and-comers, the youth who ultimately will shape maybe policies in some of the places that that we're talking about. So I'm going to say, as a, you know, as a speech, it seemed okay to me, and I saw the whole thing, but, and some of it sounded good, and he brought up 9/11, etc. But I'm also going to say to you, what difference will it ultimately make? What impact will it have? Now, there are others who believe that Obama should have mentioned a couple of things that he didn't mention. And, you know, and of course, it's all about this two-state solution and a compromise between people that have different aspirations, right? So the United States, he talked about the United States, Obama did, and said that he doesn't accept the legitimacy of continued Israeli settlements. So you think of those Jewish settlements, and they're spread throughout the West Bank, which, of course, is Palestinian-controlled. Israel maintains, and they're dotted with them, the settlements that are needed, that are there, Palestinians say they are an obstacle to this whole peace process and shouldn't be. But you talk to Israelis and they say, look, we've already given up land. How much more do we have to give up? And one thing that he said America has a strong bond with Israel. It's unbreakable and it's based upon cultural and historical ties and the recognition that the aspiration for a Jewish homeland is rooted in tragic history that cannot be denied. So that's the question. How do you handle the grievances on both sides of this? So I throw this out to you. Do you think in our lifetime we will ever see peace in the Middle East? Is Obama the miracle man here that is going to reach out and change some of the attitudes in the Muslim world? 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. I'm going to move from that, and we're going to continue to talk about that throughout America Tonight, this version of America Tonight. But because we focused on this a bunch, I think it's worth the follow-up to this. The Brazilian Air Force is saying, and I was stunned by this, I thought maybe I just hadn't had my coffee. It was early in the morning. I had to get up for, imagine this, a vet's appointment. Silly me, I got a puppy, so I had to take Mahalo for the final shots, the rabies shots. And I was up checking things out, checking around to see reaction to the Obama speech. And I happened to see this on the tube that the Brazilian Air Force is saying that that debris wasn't from the Air France crash. So there's a shocker, right? They're saying that what they picked up on Thursday wasn't, they don't think, was from this plane. That they're verifying that this did not belong to the plane because it's a pallet of wood that is used for transportation. It's used in planes. But on the flight to Paris, there wasn't a wooden pallet anywhere. There wasn't a wooden pallet that they knew of on the plane. So also that the oil slicks that you could see on the ocean were not from the plane either. And that the quantity of oil exceeded the amount the plane would have even carried. So it wasn't that. So it was no material from the plane was picked up. Nothing that was plucked from the ocean might be from the plane. They're not completely ruling it out, but almost. See, they're just, you know, they want to be cautious, obviously. So you had helicopters lifting pieces from the water, dropping them on the Navy ships. And then you had that oil field that they spotted on Wednesday, and that's where they were pulling them up from. But they had rain. They had rough seas. The searchers really couldn't get any of the debris from the water when they first came upon it, just assuming it was Flight 447. Because they had, it looks like they might have had two debris fields with the airline seat, the airplane seat, and an orange float as well that would have come from that, from there. So they're being very cautious now at this point since the debris was found really closer to Rio de Janeiro and it was in a very deep place in the Atlantic. And, you know, they don't want to, with the service that was just held in Notre Dame and all that stuff, and then they had one in Rio de Janeiro as well, they don't want the families to be confused as to what's going on because people want to know about the flight and what happened there. They're not even ruling out an in-flight explosion as the cause of the crash of this 447. Ooh, now this gets more mysterious by the hour, I would have to say, because it seemed as though at least we had the wreckage, or they had the wreckage that they could piece together, but not now. And those strong winds aren't unusual near Brazil. Pilots who fly over that part of the world keep track of the radar and are pretty cautious about the weather as they go back and forth. So there were a lot of folks that were surprised that pilot would have tried to go through the wind the way it was believed to have happened. Conspiracy theories abound. 800-259-5791.
If you've always wanted to experience the amazing benefits from using oil of oregano, the time to act is now. With so many places to choose from, where can you be 100% certain you're getting the highest quality oil for your dollar? The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com brings you ultra-pure, non-diluted oil of oregano with 80% or better carvacrol. PureBulk.com also carries over 120 nutritional products, including atomic iodine, amino acids, herbal extracts, and heart health, all made with no fillers, additives, or fancy packaging, saving you 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. With each order, PureBulk.com will send you 1 dram of atomic iodine, a 150-day supply, absolutely free. Just enter promotional code iodine at website checkout. Visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. 406-251-3270 today.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from pepperspray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust Pepper Spray instead of your luck. Pepperspray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. Pepperspray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. Pepperspray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to pepperspray.com. That's pepperspray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
The word catastrophe is defined as a sudden and widespread disaster. The only way to be truly ready is to prepare yourself now. The7store.net is here to make sure you are fully prepared in the event of any catastrophe. The7store.net carries high-quality storable MREs, storable and freeze-dried foods, survival gear, terror and pandemic kits, water storage, self-reliant items, and more, all with a low-price guarantee. We are ready to answer your questions and offer advice on preparedness, food storage, and more. See why the7store.net is one of the nation's most trusted emergency preparedness companies for home, business, and schools. Take the first responsible step in preparing for the next inevitable catastrophe by visiting the7store.net. That's the7store.net. Or call 1-888-654-3447. That's 1-888-654-3447.
Forget, coming up a little bit later, a couple of big movies coming out. So one has serious buzz, Land of the Lost. I mentioned it at the top of this hour with Will Ferrell. Yeah, see, with everything that's going on in the world, you got to lighten the load. You got to go catch a flick with the grandkids, the kids, the niece, the nephew, whatever, right? That's what I think anyway. That's my 2 cents. On the weekend, you need to chill from everything. In the meantime, we have Barack Obama, president, in the Middle East, giving a big speech in Cairo. There's been lots of reaction to it, some of it positive, some of it kind of tepid, some of it negative. That's what you would expect anyway. A lot of Republicans feel like he missed the boat in some senses of some of the stuff that he talked about. Obviously, it was interesting that that Obama got over to Egypt so quickly and did give this speech. But I keep saying the same thing. I mean, we can go round and round about Obama and his speaking prowess, or did he hit the right notes and all this other sort of stuff. But ultimately what matters is there any shot at all of two of the Palestinian folks and the Israeli folks coexisting in the peaceful way? Is there really the shot of that happening? I mean, you just have to think of your history, and you know what I'm talking about. It's not, this is not going to be anything easy. We've heard about peace in the Middle East. Since I was in first grade, I can remember seeing photographs in current events classes. Oh, Jimmy Carter, whoever it was, Bill Clinton, etc. Pick a president, any president. We've heard about peace in the Middle East for a while, right? So you think of the feelings, you think of the territory, and I'm going to say this is going to be a pretty tough nut to crack. If he does, then even those in the GOP who feel like Obama's speech was off target on some key issues would have to give it to him, would have to hand it to him if he was able to do that. But here's the deal. It's an ongoing thing. Anybody can, you could have Israel, you could have the Arab world say, absolutely, let's sign a peace accord and everything else, and that could all be blown to hell. Right? So what happened in the speech, I think, what Obama seemed to do was he tried to play the middle game because he couldn't alienate Israel, right? So, and he has to embrace the Palestinians. It seemed as though, I think John Boehner, believe it or not, the House Minority Leader, was right. He seemed to place equal blame on both. And certainly, and I believe this as well, that the Israelis have the right to defend themselves. If I were the Israelis, I'd tell everybody to take a leap, because you have to think about some of the things that have happened, right? And you have to think about, for example, Iran and nukes and ultimately a nutball named Ahmadinejad, who's up for re-election. Will he be elected? Who knows? And if not, who takes his place? But saying that the Holocaust didn't exist. And if you think we're too pro-Israel and all that sort of stuff, I understand. But at the same time, you have to realize also what has happened in Israel, especially when it concerns Iran and Ahmadinejad, right? So even John Boehner, he makes a great point. The Israelis have a right to defend themselves, right? Has to be. And then you're trying to have this equivalency between the people who are pushing for a Palestinian state and then the state of Israel, and I just don't see how you do that. I don't see how those, how do you, it's like Hamas. How do you disarm terrorists? Hamas has control of the Gaza Strip, basically, right? Of course, Hamas is controversial, and they control Gaza, which is near Egypt, and they have huge support among Palestinians. There's one problem right there. So they're going to end the violence and they're going to recognize what the past agreements are? I think that's pretty tough. Remember, in 2002, President Bush said that America would only engage Palestinian leaders not compromised by terror, right? So now, and I didn't even realize this until as I was going through everything, in Cairo, Obama reversed the policy. He reversed what Bush said. So this is a dangerous road to walk down because of the movements like Hamas, right? Would Israel embrace Hamas? The people who follow Hamas, the directive of any of the Hamas leaders, isn't there pretty much a terrorist movement right there? Yes, obviously. So this is a tough one. And also, I think that one thing that Obama did, and this would be my probably biggest criticism, is I don't think that when Obama gives a speech and the fact that he went to the Middle East, I mean, good for him, and did it so early in his presidency. I mean, you can't take that away from him, right? But do you need to apologize for things in the past? I don't think so. like there was the one comment where he talked about torture, the torture thing, and the United States will no longer be a nation that does that. Matt, do we have that third little clip from Obama? I want everybody to hear that again and listen to that, and you'll see.
We're taking concrete actions to change course. I have unequivocally prohibited the use of torture by the United States, and I have ordered the prison at Guantanamo Bay closed by early next year. No system of government can or should be imposed by one nation by any other. That does not lessen my commitment, however, to governments that reflect the will of the people. There's one rule that lies at the heart of every religion, that we do unto others as we would have them do unto us. This truth transcends nations and peoples. A belief that isn't new, that isn't black or white or brown, that isn't Christian or Muslim or Jew. It's a belief that pulsed in the cradle of civilization.
All right, so you heard what he said there about, again, really talking about the heart of justification, I think, of Islam, I guess, in a way, in what he said. But the key point I wanted you to hear was at the top of that about Gitmo and saying that, you know, that it was going to be closed or whatever. So the bottom line is, I do agree with that. Why bring that? Why necessarily bring that into it other than, I guess, because it's a flashpoint for so many, or it's so it seems it's a flashpoint for others in the Middle East, because let's face it, the detainees are from the Middle East, but they don't even want them back because of the ties to the things that they've done, unless they're given money to take them back for the most part, right? And then the ones that did that get sent back ended up, half of them anyway, going back into some sort of a terror group. So there were a few things that I would have questioned. And there was a question and answer deal, too, as well. And he was obviously speaking to mostly a Muslim crowd. And one of the key things that he addressed was that the United States entered Afghanistan by necessity and not choice. So he talked about the questioning by some of the events of 9/11 and address the conflict in Iraq, calling it, unlike Afghanistan, and this is Obama's words, a war of choice that provided strong differences in my country and around the world. So there is a tendency, I think, to seem like he's apologizing, and I don't think Obama needs to do that. Let's just move on from that. If it's a new administration, forget what happened in the past, forget the blame game, and just make a clean slate as to whatever it is he's doing. I think that has to end. Why keep dipping back into what happened before, right? So that would be my heaviest criticism. You can shoot me your thoughts in an email, americatonight.net. Again, americatonight.net.
I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning between the United States and Muslims around the world. One based on mutual interest and mutual respect. And I consider it part of my responsibility as President of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear. Just as Muslims do not fit a crude stereotype, America is not the crude stereotype of a self-interested empire.